LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Marla Diane. Forbidden Dragon. And a Green Gables by Lucy Maud Montgomery, Chapter 19, A Concert, A Catastrophe, and A Confession. Marilla, can I go over to see Diana just for a minute? Asked Dan, running breathlessly down the east gable one February evening. I don't see what you want to be traipsing about after dark for, said Marilla shortly. You and Diana walked home from school together and then stood there in the snow for half an hour more, your tongues going the whole blessed time, clickety clack. So I don't think you're very badly off to see her again. But she wants to see me, pleaded Anne. She has something very important to tell me. How do you know? She asked. Because she just signaled to me from her window. We've arranged the way we signal with our candles and cardboard. You set the candle on the windowsill and it flashes by passing the cardboard back and forth. So many flashes mean a certain thing. It was my idea, Marilla. I'll warrant you it was, said Marilla emphatically. And the next thing you'll be setting cardboard curtains with your signaling nonsense. Oh, we're very careful, Marilla, and it's so interesting. Two flashes mean, are you there? Three mean yes, and four no. Five mean come over as soon as possible because I have something important to reveal. Diana has just signaled five flashes, and I'm really suffering to know what it is. Well, you needn't suffer any longer, said Marilla sarcastically. You can go, but you'll be back here in just 10 minutes. Remember that. Anne did remember it and went back in the stipulated time, although probably no mortal will ever know just what it cost her to confine the discussion of Diana's important communication within the limits of 10 minutes. But at least she had made good use of them. Oh, Marilla, what do you think? You know tomorrow is Diana's birthday. Well, their mother told her she could ask me to go home with her from school and stay all night with her. And her cousins are coming over from Newbridge in a big chunk sleigh to go to the debating club concert at the hall tomorrow night. And they're going to take Diana and me to the concert, if you'll let me go, that is. You will, won't you, Marilla? Oh, I feel so excited. You can calm down then, because you're not going. You're better at home in your own bed. And as for that club concert, it's all nonsense. And little girls should not be allowed to go out to such places at all. I'm sure the debating club is the most respectable affair, pleaded Anne. I'm not saying it isn't, but you're not going to be in getting a ghost concert and staying out all hours of the night. Do you suppose we will ever be asked to do it, Diana? Yes, of course, someday. They're always wanting the big stars to their sight. Cover fly does often when he's only 2 years older than us. Oh, Anne, how could you pretend not to listen? When he came to the was kneeling fiercely by the fire. Her wrath flamed in the midst of her eyes, snapping the golden glasses. She wheeled around in her chair, expecting to see Diana. And beheld a white-faced girl whose great eyes were brimmed up. "Who are you?" demanded Miss Josephine Barry without ceremony.
"I'm Nanny Greengables,"
said the small figure tremulously, clasping her hands with a characteristic gesture. "Confess what?"
"That it was all my fault for jumping into bed on you last night. I suggested it. Diana would never thought of such a thing, I'm sure. Diana's a very ladylike girl, Miss Barry, so you must see how unjust it is to blame her."
"Oh, I